We're now going to talk to our local MP, Cindy McLeish. Cindy comes in once a month. It's great to talk to her. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much, Alan. Good afternoon, everybody.
I saw the other day where a couple of the politicians got dumped. Dunked. Now, I know a lot of people would like to throw their local MP, you accept it, into the local creek or something, but... Is this for Neil Danaher's fundraising?
Yeah, the Fight MND. And the reason the politicians are quite heavily invested in it is because one of the member for Pakenham has been diagnosed with fairly aggressive MND. And, you know, there's been Parliament's made quite a number of changes for Emma. You know, she's friends with everybody.
Both sides.
Yeah, everybody likes her. And so they've done a number of different fundraisers people have been involved in. And this one was, you know, like you have at school fates. You know, they have the big thing of water, but it had ice in it. A couple of the journalists, actually, Mitch Clark and Kieran Rooney. Mitch was at The Sun and Kieran's at The Age. And they were, and Carly Douglas, I think, from The Sun, were kind of keen in getting it organised.
Yep.
So they did that and there were quite a number of people who... took the plunge and they all dressed up kind of like the Big Freeze.
So which pollies went in?
Ben Carroll, the Deputy Premier.
Oh, yeah.
He went in. He was dressed in his North Melbourne gear, poor thing.
Yep.
Brad Batten, and he wore a Geelong football jumper signed by Tom Stewart was then going to be auctioned as well. So Brad's kind of keen Geelong supporter.
Yep.
And... Minister for Racing Carbines was there. The leader of the Nationals was there. I think Gab Williams and one of the Greens. So, you know, it was everybody was involved, everybody dressed up. And I think, one guy, Tim Bull from the Nationals, he had kind of like pyjamas that were made, like a T-shirt with Emma's face on it. But then all of these little cutouts on printed on fabric or whatever, he went to a lot of effort to do that. And Emma was the one who pushed the dunk button.
Oh, did she?
So, there was quite a number of people. It went on for quite a while, actually. It's probably about maybe even 10 people got dunked.
Oh, that's right. And any of the journalists, like you said, they helped.
No, actually.
They set it up and let you all go.
Yeah, they set it up and let everybody go. But, you know, it had good coverage and there were lots of donations for it and, you know, all for that really great cause. And Neil, 12 months ago, he came in. And everybody in the chamber wore the MND beanies for the day. Oh, not for the day. For the 2 minutes.
he's done an enormous amount of work, hasn't he?
Oh, raised millions. And awareness.
Yeah. And it was probably a disease that was just scooting along, but all of a sudden he brought it right to the foreground, didn't he?
Yes, that's right. And you hear stories through, some of the footballers have talked about, you know, family or friends. I'm trying to forget, I remember who it was that I read, one of the footballers had, you know, a family member with MND as well.
Doesn't discriminate.
And we had a guy I was at university with as well. He had something that was quite aggressive and, you know, he was a life of the party physiotherapist and lost his life way too young.
Yeah, it's not good. All right, so let's lift the day a bit. the other thing is that, the pollies are well versed in this debating. I saw on Facebook where there was a big debate.
There was a big debate, and we have a parliamentary Lions club that has been going since, I think, about 2002. Premier Steve Brax and Martin Dixon, who was also a minister, not in the Brax government. Yep. Started the Lions Club, and it's been going, and we're a bit of a rabble. We don't always do the right thing. We're not always great at following the rules, but we have somebody from
Since when did the pollies, I could say.
We have somebody from the Lions Club who had to, you know, sponsor us, and so our secretary, and Helen's just retiring, but she's been the secretary probably since the whole time, actually. And so she comes in and makes us follow the rules and do all of the things that we're supposed to be to be a properly constituted Lions Club.
Yep.
But part of that is fundraising.
Yep.
And last year we had a fundraiser for the Lions. I've got a skin cancer bus.
Yes, yep.
And through our debate we raised about 12 or 13, 14,000, something like that. It was really quite good.
Yep.
Through the debate, and we had an auction. You know, you buy the tickets and it was all included. And this year we did it for the need for feed, for the drought.
Oh, the drought, yep.
And so we had quite, you know, quite a list, actually. So from the journalists who actually won, but I'm not sure.
I was going to say, well, who won?
And Sammy J, who used to be on 774 yep. in the mornings, he was the compere. And he did it last year and does a fabulous job.
So you're saying he favoured the journalists?
Oh, no, it's crowd response. The loud clapping and stuff like that, and surprised me a little bit.
So who won? The journalists won?
The journalists, and that was, they started with Raph Epstein, who's yep. on ABC in the mornings. Yep. Samaya Ellenby, who's with the Financial Review, used to be with The Age, and Tom Elliott also competes against Raph, actually. And yep. the journal, the pollies were Gab Williams, who's a member for Dandenong.
Yep.
Jade Benham for the Nationals, who's the member for Mildura, and David Hodgett, who's a member for Croydon.
Yep. And what was the topic?
That we could do away with politicians and just use AI. AI politicians.
And who was which side?
The politicians had to argue that we could be done away with and really? You could replace us with AI. And, yeah, they talked about policy and decision-making. All of this stuff could be generated through AI and, you know, they wouldn't be spinning anything. It would just be spitting out the truth. And the journalists were pretty well on the side of, hang on a minute, you need a bit of entertainment. This keeps us going, you know. We like to have the personalities behind them.
And they won, didn't
and
they?
And they won. But it was, look, it was a really good night. Everyone gets to debate, your proper debate rules for about, I don't know, 6 minutes each or something like that. Yeah.
And then 1 minute, you get a warning at 1 minute, don't you?
Yep, you get the warning at 1 minute. Somebody had to seek an extension of time. Oh, but I was going to say, so Gabrielle Williams, she's the Minister for Transport, she did hers and read out her speech and then at the end and said, kindly generated by Chat GPT or whatever.
Did she?
So she had AI generate her whole speech and saying, look, to prove the point. And then somebody, Jade, kind of did something similar but with an interactive way. And then David Hodgett just, he's a very, very funny person. He just wrote his own and it was hilarious and it was, you know, really well done. He was excellent. But the whole night was great. Then you have a bit of finger food and drink
and earn some money for a good cause.
Yeah, earn some money for a good cause. So we're very pleased with that.
All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Cindy, you'd like to talk about a 14-year-old. I mean, most 14-year-olds aren't doing anything of note, but you know of one that has.
Because we're in the Yarra Valley, people know all of the wineries, you know, along the Maroondah and Melba highways, and up in Dixon's Creek, there's a Steel's Gate winery run by Brad and Matt, and they're great, you know, and the son, Sebastian, is 14 years old. He's at Billinook, and he started out on winemaking. He started to have a couple of drops that are okay.
Just of his own sort of making.
I mean, I guess he probably, you know, when you live at a vineyard, you're seeing what happens. You kind of understand the process. And I'm sure it's a great science project for school.
Particularly if he gives the teacher a sample.
Yeah, particularly. He might be the teacher's pet quite easily. But, you know, I just thought it was pretty great. It got some coverage in mainstream media, and I gave him a mention in Parliament as well. You know, 14, and he's having a good old crack. And, you know, here we are in the middle of the hospitality-type precinct in Healesville, you know, at the moment. And, you know, you look around and everyone starts somewhere. So I was quite impressed with him.
Now, you also wanted to mention about better signage.
Oh, I've had, you know, the cyclists contact me. And a lot of areas with mountains, you know, people, cyclists head there. Now, we've got the Warburton Bike Park opening very soon. But a lot of people ride up to Mount Donabuang, and anywhere where you've got the interaction of cyclists and vehicles, you know, it can be a little problem. So whilst, you know, we're lucky out here with the rail trail, flat, mostly, you know, pretty flat, got to cross the road a couple of times and be careful.
And the whole way from Yeo, you can go the whole way to Alexandra.
Yeah, there's a couple of hills there. and we've got some great tracks, the O'Shaughnessy Trail, pity the bridge isn't fixed up there yet. But cyclists get worried about their visibility and cars not thinking about them. Yeah. And on Donabuang Road, there's spots that are probably hot spots, so maybe mirrors and some greater signage is what's required. The government sort of say, oh, yeah, we look at this sort of stuff and it's not in our overall road safety plan. It's like, God, it's four signs, you know. It's not like it's not like part of, you know, Melba Highway upgrade or Warburton Highway upgrade. Yep. It's a few signs and maybe mirrors. So that was something because they'd raised it. And I think that's
pretty fair. Absolutely.
Pretty fair that...
Cindy, you just mentioned the upgrade of the Melba Highway. They started on that earlier in the year, and have you heard any more about when that's going to start?
Oh, they've done some.
Slide. Oh, have they?
They've done some.
Yeah.
And then they've stopped. So they've got... they did some right at the bottom end.
Right.
You know, we've still got a big problem at Yering, another accident today. And Dixon's Creek, partway to Glenburn, but certainly there's still very bad patches between Glenburn and Yay.
If you're talking road service, I'm talking about the washaway, you know, where they closed the road.
Oh, where they closed the road. Yep. Sorry. Yep. They're looking at the back end of the year.
Still looking towards that.
Yeah, October, November, December.
Because it doesn't want to eat into Christmas, though, would it?
You'd hope not. Vic Roads are aware of that. As it is, it looks as though it's going to be over Cup weekend, and whether they can... it's going to have one lane open in each direction.
But that's okay, but it's not very good if you're coming into a holiday period, is it?
Like no, because they say the average wait time's 5 minutes, but I think that's over a 24-hour period. So, you know, at 2 a.m., wait time of 5 minutes, you know, compared to 2 p.m., the wait time might be 35 minutes, you know.
Yeah. So I just want to keep on to that because to find out about it. And I see that, and I don't know who was at fault here, but you spoke about Mount Donabuang. Well, there was a real problem at the first weekend on that Saturday, wasn't it, of the snow, that a whole lot of cars got caught up there that shouldn't have been up there and the gates weren't closed or something.
And snow actually creates all sort of bad driving. People who aren't familiar with it and aren't familiar with the mountain roads. You know, you get a dusting at Marysville, it's the same sort of thing. You get a dusting on Donabuang. Yep. On the other night, I was in Mansfield. I was in Mansfield on Saturday for the Lantern Festival.
Right.
I think it was that day. Oh, no, it was Sunday. And there was snow on the Black Spur and caused all sorts of grief as well. People are not really familiar with it, and it's not like we all switch over to snow tyres. If you're living up at Buller or Hotham, you might have snow tyres on your car, but, you know, we just have our regular vehicles and to adapt.
And a lot of people go from Melbourne who have very little experience on slippery roads, and all of a sudden they're up there in most of the snow.
Very little experience on windy roads as well. And steep roads. And when they're slippery, well, that's even worse.
Just got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
Raw vision, vivid dream, stunning flashback, all remain. Long to indulge, I'll wait for you. Time goes by, don't slip from view. Idyllic scene, kept in my head. Shut that off and come to bed. Lights and love, heart of gold. Left my mark and I'm quickly sold.
Now, Cindy, as you know, we don't get onto political topics during this hour, but I think one that has got us all concerned is the crime statistics. They just don't seem to be coming down at all.
No, and look, the Yarra Ranges, the further you get out of town, generally the better things are into rural and regional areas, and the numbers aren't huge. But what I wanted to draw people's attention to is the types of crime that are most prevalent in the area. And certainly in 12 months there's been a 64% increase in theft from a motor car. So, you know, the warning is make sure you don't have your laptop or something, you know, that you care about that can be seen easily, to make it an easy target. You know, if you've got a hatchback, you know, often you can pull over a cover over so that people can't see into the boot. If you've got a regular boot, you know, stick everything in the boot because no one can see anything. But it's leaving something on the front seat or the back seat.
And people do, don't they?
People do. And this is where a huge number of the growth has been. But having said that, you know, it's nearly 300 additional ones this 12 months, but it's still less than 1,000, whereas some in other areas, you know, these stats are 3,000-4,000. Yep. And also motor vehicle theft has gone up quite a lot. There's another 133. This is just in the Yarra Ranges.
So, and in some instances, people leaving the keys in them too, aren't they?
And sometimes that happens, and you know, these guys are pretty slick at how quickly they operate. They can get into a house fairly quickly and find the keys and in and out. But it's motor vehicle theft and theft from a motor vehicle that I think people really need to keep an eye on. You know, theft from retail store is something that is fairly big, but and non-aggravated burglary out of homes. It's not huge here at all, but that'll be, you know, someone slips in, steals a wallet, steals the car keys,
and out the
door and causes no fuss to the person. But, you know, we've just got to be really vigilant with our cars, keeping them locked and keeping things hidden from sight.
Agree with that. And the other thing too, that we need to keep an eye out for each other. If something doesn't look right, if there's somebody hanging around that you don't think should be, well, we should do something about it rather than just say, oh, it's nothing to do with me.
And that's where Neighbourhood Watch is good. And if people have connected with their neighbours or their communities and they talk about that and they'll say, oh, listen, we saw, you know, a car kind of going up and down this street quite slowly, and just alerting, you know, to the neighbours and schools. If you've got young kids and you're near schools, so there's often a lot of parents walking with kids and talking to them, and so everyone knows what's happening is a good thing.
Because it seems to always be the further you get out of Melbourne, as you just said, particularly with talking to each other, they pick it up very quickly. Oh, we saw that strange car around a couple of weeks, you know, a few times. They tend to talk to each other, whereas you get more close into just in the town, people don't say that as much, do they? They don't take as much attention.
Yeah, and in the old days, probably more so, you know, people sat on their front porch, and the design of new houses is that often people can drive straight into the garage and go into the house from the garage, and they don't really interact and engage with the neighbours. But it's a good thing to know your neighbours, because if they know you, they can keep an eye out for things. I did work with somebody one time, and his house got robbed while he was on holidays, and it was the neighbour.
It was a neighbour.
It was his next door neighbour.
Probably not.
So you just got to suss out your neighbours a little bit as well. Yeah. But, you know, for community safety, that's a good thing. And whether you've got that connection through Rotary or through a sports club, or your bowling club, whatever it is, where people are talking about things and they're more likely to raise stuff that I saw this and this was a bit odd, and someone else might say, oh, we noticed that too, or and you can put pieces together.
Well, and that's a good point, because I also interview Crime Stoppers once a month, and one of the things I always say, look, if you think something's not right, if you don't want to do anything about it, just get a hold of Crime Stoppers, because it could be just that last little bit that the police need to be able to charge somebody.
That's right. People don't always think, oh, I've only got a little snippet and maybe it's not important. Yep. But if it's that final piece in the puzzle, because police are pretty good, you know, there's a lot of cameras and different things out there that they can use, technology, that can help solve issues. So
I remember a policeman, a friend of mine, saying to me once, you'd be surprised how many times we just can't charge that person. Like, we've got that much evidence against them. If only somebody would give us that last little bit, we'd have a conviction. And so it's very important that, and Crime Stoppers are there. They don't take your number.
No, that's exactly right. Crime Stoppers are a good place.
Quick break. Now, you've got a book there that worries me a bit, but we'll talk about that when we come back.
I know you didn't. You didn't just go there. Keep pulling at the thread. Pretty soon you're gonna unleash what's in here. I know you didn't. You didn't push me again. I got a memory like an elephant, honey. I never forget. They call the collector, 'cause they know I'm keeping tabs. They call me the collector, 'cause they know I'm coming back. I know you did it. You didn't just do that. Keep tugging at the line. Pretty soon you're gonna regret what you catch. I know you didn't. You didn't try that again. I got a little book in my heart.
I'm talking to Cindy McLeish now. Cindy, you want to talk about you had a... Oh, no, first of all, we'll talk about the book that you've got there. I'm a bit worried about this one, but go
No, 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 nothing to be worried about, Alan, nothing to be worried about at all. It's called A Loo of One's Own. And that's kind of got an interesting title, hasn't it? And it's a mostly true mostly true tale of Australian first female parliamentarians. Yeah. And it's written by a lady who used to be with the ABC. Her name's Ellery Harris, and she came down to the Victorian Parliament to launch her book, and I was involved with the launch, as was the Minister for Women, and I'm the Shadow Minister for Women.
Yep.
And it's a book written for kids, and it gives a good historical view of what actually happened.
It's terrific. I've had a look at it.
And, you know, like the women were allowed to vote. Now, given the vote quite a long time before anyone actually even got elected to Parliament. And so finally two women get...
They both came in the same time, the same election.
They both came in at the same...
Yep.
At the same time. And... So they get there. You think, oh, yeah, and then all of a sudden they're met with a whole bunch of male journalists flashing the...
who probably didn't think they should be there.
Who probably didn't think that they should be there all taking... all doing that. And so Dame Enid Lyons, her husband had been a prime minister, so she thought she kind of knew what was going on there. And she had, like, 12 kids. And Dame Dorothy... Tangney. So one was from Western Australia and one was from Tasmania. So they did know each other from a bar of soap. Opposite political parties. They get there day one. Mid-morning, they find they've got something in common. They're both female and they're looking for a loo. And there isn't one.
So there wasn't any female toilet in Parliament?
Well, in the book, they go and ask around and one of the women on the reception says, I go home at lunchtime. And... one of the cleaners said, oh, I use the visitor's toilet out in the, you know, somewhere or other. But, you know, there were 13 men's toilets all around the place
and
none for the women. So they had to, you know, work out what to do. And this is classic, you know. They devised a system. They thought if we leave our high heels at the door, they'll know there's a woman inside.
Oh, yeah.
So it was their secret code. So, okay, I'm in there, don't come in. Don't come in and use a urinal or something like that. So they did this. How long do you reckon that lasted?
I'd like to say a day, but you tell me.
30 years.
30 years?
30 years, and the number of women grew because initially they thought, oh, there won't be any more women. You know, you don't really belong here.
I bet they suffered some terrible discrimination.
Oh, they would have. And this is classic, you know, and I imagine that they weren't...
30 years for a toilet.
Yeah. One of the stories is one of them having lunch on her own. It's like, I don't have nits, you know.
So they really isolated her.
They did. They did. So they came in 1943 and it was in 1974 that they actually... And I think then they might have just covered over a urinal and just put a new sign on the door. But... by then there was quite a number of women, but this was the code, so they kept up with it.
Were they hoping that the women wouldn't last very long in Parliament?
Well, initially that would have been the case, but as more and more women came in, I think because they had the system and maybe they used one more than the others or whatever, that the guys all knew, okay, there's a female in there, we won't go in. But this book, it's, you know, beautifully illustrated and telling the story of these two women and what happened when they first went to Parliament. And so it was an absolute joy to be part of the launch in Victorian Parliament of this book. So I'm going to get a couple of copies and I might even put them in some hampers and things that I give away.
Do you know where the book is available?
Oh, you know, if you go on the internet, you can find it really easily.
And what was it called again, please?
A Loo of One's Own.
Sounds good.
Very easy to remember. You know, you could Google toilets for female parliamentarians in 1940 or something like that and you'll find this book will pop up.
But that's unbelievable. Now, Cindy, you had an Aboriginal memorial.
Yes, the Remembrance Service for Aboriginal Soldiers.
Yeah.
Gosh, it seems so long ago now, but it was since we last spoke. And it's always on the 31st of May and this year was a Saturday. Which was the first time. And Auntie Dot Peters from Healesville, a lot of people would remember Auntie Dot. Yep. She passed away a few years ago. Auntie Dot, her father was killed on the Burma Thai Railway, but he wasn't even recognised.
because they didn't recognise any of the Aboriginal
people, that's right.
Or Indigenous, did they?
No, at all. No. Not at all. And many of them went away and fought. And people would volunteer. But if you were somebody from Healesville who was Aboriginal and you went somewhere local, people would go, no, hang on, you know, I don't know that you should be. You're Aboriginal, but they go somewhere. They go over to Warragul and they just sign up over there, you know. But plenty did sign up and fight.
And were killed.
And were killed. Auntie Dot's yep. father did not come home. So she just thought that wasn't fair. And it, I can't believe it took so long, so long. 2006, they actually got it sorted to recognise the service. So now, and that was with Sam Hallam. Sam had Sanctuary House over in Badger Creek.
Yep.
He was president of the RSL. Sam himself is Egyptian background.
Yep.
And Sam, Auntie Dot went to Sam, and between the two of them, they started having a little service and a bigger service and a bigger service, and now it's quite a large service at the shrine, and people from Healesville go in, people from all over the place come in, they have different speakers. But to actually signify, hey, you know, like, I can't believe, not even 20 years ago, and I think for so long, people probably weren't even thinking about it. It was just, yeah, it might have been an issue initially, and then no one was probably thinking about it, because you would have thought that would have got changed a lot earlier. But Andrew Peters, he, Auntie Dot's son, can't help it if he's a Richmond supporter. He's on the board. He's also on the board of Richmond. But Andrew's taken up, you know, the mantle from his mum, and he's the one who's actively engaged in it. And Sam is still very much engaged. And
of course, when you look at, I mean, even coming in closer, quite a number of the RSLs didn't want to even acknowledge the Vietnam vets, did they, in the early days?
No,
And the society didn't.
No, exactly. So there's been quite a little bit of discrimination in this area, and the Vietnam vets didn't feel like that they had a place in an RSL, but now the RSLs are predominantly those people who fought.
And they're doing a lot of the work.
In Vietnam, because they're that age group.
Got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
I am a river carrying you to deeper water. Why swim upstream when you can drift down with me? I am a giver.
Welcome back to Community Connections. We're talking to Cindy McLeish for the next few minutes, and then at 1 o'clock we'll have the news and weather, and then we'll have leading senior constable James in from the Highway Patrol, and we'll be talking all about road safety and what we should do to keep ourselves safe, because there's some idiots out there, I've got to tell you, and no matter how much we talk about them, they still do stupid things. Now, you want to talk about tourism, Cindy?
Yep, absolutely. Tourism is such a critical part of the area that we live
in. Particularly Yarra Valley, isn't it?
Particularly Yarra Valley. Yeah. And we've got so many unique offerings because it's not all about wine and chocolates or gin, for example. We've got the Healesville Sanctuary and lots of accommodation, Airbnbs, probably not so many hotels. Yep. Yeah, RACV is obviously quite big. And, you know, in the Dandenongs, and so people like to get away and sometimes just to be in a place with a nice surrounds. Other times they're coming to do something.
And I did a interview about Mont Delancey.
Oh.
You'd be surprised. Well, I actually spoke to the wife of, I think it's the third generation that owned that, Savine. I think it is Savine or Savine. And the feedback we got after that was, didn't even know it was there. And these are people that live in the Yarra Valley.
Well, there's so many spots that are there. You know, Allowan Gardens, you know, is a fabulous place. And we've got Blue Lotus. And, you know, those are quite large because they get a bit of airplay.
Yep.
But there's so many other great places around. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is, you know, whilst we have these terrific places, it can be really difficult for the tourism bodies themselves. And the more that they collaborate with each other and learn, you know, we've had tourism based here in Yarra Valley, and it's changing now. For a little while that Yarra Valley and Nillumbik have kind of been in together, with Yarra Rangers, actually, not Yarra Valley, have been the key, the lead in all of this, because, you know, we've got everything here in the Yarra Valley. Like, it's, let's face it, it's terrific. And now it's been fairly historic, some of these setups, and it's changing a little bit now. So Yarra Valley Tourism, who people would know, is also going to incorporate, I think it's Cardinia Shire from them. So it's got the Yarra Rangers, Nillumbik and Cardinia, which is
Packenway and all.
That has Puffing Billy as well. It's probably their key tourism thing. So there are these links, and they haven't been really big in the tourism space. Obviously, Puffing Billy has been quite, you know, and they've had these great night experiences and stuff like that. It's really quite good. Yeah. But that's probably the key. But there's a lot of learning that can be done from whether you're providing any sort of hospitality service or experience, or, you know, you one of the vineyards that gets involved in a whole lot of festivals. And so it's working together to make sure that we can bring people here and have them stay, because it's really difficult at the moment when there's a cost of living crisis.
Yep.
And at the most recent summit that they had, Yarra Rangers Tourism had, that they look at things about how people find you and different ways. And
because that's a key to it, isn't it? You can have all these great places, but if no one knows they're there.
Yeah, and then how you book, how people are booking, and, you know, the what ifs and the booking.com and all of those things. And I know sometimes they can be convenient, but that really takes away from the local accommodation provider being able to manage better. And these guys take a fair margin and sometimes can squeeze the accommodation ones. So, you know, I'm really keen, like, and when I go to book something, we'll book straight at the website for the hotel or for wherever it is, rather than go through that third party. All of these big what-ifs and booking.com, there's only two companies in the world, and they're all spin-offs, and they're all, you know, got the
same. And they're all
making
money.
The same mother company that's listed on the New York Stock Exchange. They're making money out of it. So it's interesting for people to hear about that sort of stuff, but to know how people are booking. So if people are booking on Facebook, you need to have a presence on Facebook or Instagram, or if it's TikTok, you know, you need to have presence in different sorts of social media. So Yarra Valley Tourism, or Yarra Rangers Tourism, sorry, bring everybody together, and they've had it at the RACV Club, and it's absolute chockers. You know, they can't fit any more people in the big rooms. Yeah, it's a full day. people get together, learn and share experiences. So I want to give a big shout out to Yarra Rangers Tourism for the work that they've done. And I know they'll go really well leading with Cardinia coming into their fold.
Into their group.
Yeah.
It'd be terrific. Right, we've got 1 minute. Anything else you want to say before we have to go?
Oh, yes, of course. I missed out a very important bit. Last week during Parliament, it was very busy. You know, we had the Premier's Melbourne City Soccer Premiers come in. You know, I'm a Victory supporter, yep. So anyway. But we also had the Spring Street Cats.
And Spring Street Cats.
And so we had Shannon Neal and Stephen Hocking, who's the CEO, great former player, and some of the women come in as well. But from time to time, we can have a little bit of light-hearted fun in Parliament. We've got a recess now for 5 weeks, so next time I speak, it won't be about what's been going on in Parliament.
It'll be what you've been doing.
Exactly.
Are you getting away at all during that break?
No, if I go away, it'll be to a friend's house for a couple of nights or something.
Cindy, thanks for your time again. We're fast running out of time, but as I said, we'll have at 2 o'clock, we'll have the news and weather, and then we'll be back and we'll be talking to leading senior constable James Savin all about the road safety strategy in the area. But thank you for your time, Cindy, and we look forward to talking to you.
Pleasure.